turn back in our Bibles to Psalm chapter 31, Psalm chapter 31, verses 21 through 24. We see here that the psalmist David wrote this out for us here, and we can see four things. Starting in verse 21, we can see that it says that he has showed me his marvelous kindness. You can see that we need to see his kindness. We need to see his grace. Verse 22, we see what David does here. He heard the voice of my supplication that when I cried unto thee. The Lord heard David's prayers, his specific prayer request. So he was speaking to the Lord. We need to do that. We need to see his grace. We need to speak to the Lord. Verse 23, what need to stay faithful. In verse 24, we need to be strengthened in hope. Because we know that hope in the Lord is our comfort. Hope in the Lord is our comfort. So today I hope we can see and understand a little better about what that means. Hope in the Lord is our comfort, and to be able to receive that hope that God wants to give us. He wants to give it to us freely, but it's on us to be able to receive it, to be able to receive that comfort that God wants us to have. Let's here in our vision for this year, we have comfort in the time of conflict. Let's turn to that. 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Paul's talking to the Corinthians here, and you see that what our vision for this verse for this year, and what Paul's writing is, hey, we need to be comforted in the time of conflict. We need to understand it. But how do we understand it? How do we know it? You have to see it. By that last phrase there in verse 4, we comfort others by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. If we don't see God's comfort that He's given us, can we share it with others? No, you can't. We have to see and know that God is here for us. He is here to comfort us. He provides all things for us. Like we talked about earlier, being a prisoner. Paul was a prisoner of the Lord. We need to be a prisoner of the Lord. Paul knew that God provided for him. No matter if he's in prison or not, being ready to be killed, whatever, God was there for him. We have to understand that and know that and be willing to just stand up for him and receive whatever the world may throw at us, knowing that in the end, hey, there's a reward waiting for us. There's eternal ramifications for the stand I'm making and taking here. So for us to be able to comfort others, we have to see God's comfort. As we turn back to Psalms 31, we see that it starts with, Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. David states this. We just saw in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 there, that's what Paul said too, Blessed be God. Hey, we need to be able to say that. Can we say that? If you can say that, imagine what you're going through, no matter how bad it is. Life-threatening illness, accident, losing job, losing your home in a tornado, losing everything. Can we say, Blessed be God? If you can, I think you're seeing His kindness. You're seeing His grace. If think about the strength it takes to say that during that troubling tribulation time we're going through. Now, we've been studying the book of Job, right? Charles has been preaching through. Let's look at what Job said. Be reminded what he said to Job. Let's go to Job chapter 1. What did Job say when his tribulation started? And he's losing everything, losing all of his income, all of his family, losing everything. What does Job say in Job chapter 1, verse 21? And said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We just made a joyful noise in singing that song. This is why we sang that. Can we say this in our troubling, trying, tribulation time frame? Think what Job was going through. Lost everything. All of his 10 kids, all his property, his herds, everything. Lost it all. He could still say, "Hey, naked I came in, naked I'm going out. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That is seeing God's kindness. As we saw here, Psalm 31:21. "Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in the strong city." Job could see it. Paul could see it. Can we see it? Can we always see his kindness no matter what we're going through? That is very critical. Very critical in understanding that our hope is in the Lord. And he is our comfort in that hope and our strength. Let's look what Paul says about seeing his kindness, seeing his grace. Second, that'd be Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, let's turn there. Titus chapter 2. We see starting in verse 11. Talk about seeing his kindness, seeing his grace. Here it is, chapter Titus 2, 11. "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men." How many men? It's all men. The grace, that kindness that David's talking about in Psalms, that kindness, he showed it. It has appeared to all men. He's shown it to us. Do you see it? Can you say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," no matter what you're going through? Verse 12. If, look at this, if you see it, look at the results of seeing his grace. It teaches, the grace, God's kindness teaches us, in verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Hey, don't live like the world. Live godly. Live a godly life. That kindness that God has shown us teaches us to live godly. Deny the worldly lust. Live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. This time frame we're in, we're walking around breathing air right now. That grace that God has shown at the whole world, all men, it teaches us to live soberly, to live godly. And if it does that, verse 13, if you allow it to teach you that, you see it, you allow it to teach it. 13 says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Teaches us to live godly, and it, the grace and kindness allows us to look for that blessed hope. We should be looking for that blessed hope if you're living like that. That blessed hope and the glorious appearing of great God. So, can you see how hope is tied to our comfort? The hope of what? The blessed hope which, and the glorious appearing of Jesus. Seeing him. Now, Is this a physical scene we're talking about, or a spiritual scene? Can you see God's kindness? Can it go over here and like, oh, there it is. It's over on the shelf. Let me go grab some of that. I could physically see it and grab it, put it in my pocket. Now I've got it. Yeah, I see it. You got to see this spiritually. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 4, what we're needing to see here is not physical. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. The abundant grace, that abundant kindness, you know, that God wants us to have. It's abundant. And grace, as we've known, we've heard before, is what? Receiving something that we don't deserve. Receiving that. Understand that. We don't deserve it, but God's given it to us. That grace. Abundant grace. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't faint. But though our outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. Our outer man perishes. Our flesh perishes. It goes downhill. I can attest to that. As you get older, we go downhill. It perishes. And it will perish when we die. But what to say? Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. To see God's kindness that David talked about in Psalms, to see it, you got to renew the inner man day by day. Renew it. Get into His Word. Seek God daily. Verse 17, for our light affliction, all this troubles we're going through, thrown in prison, lost everything, everything Job went through, for our light affliction. It's just for a moment. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It worketh. This light affliction, if you're standing on truth, you're standing on up for God, speaking His truth in love, it's just a moment. But it works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. There's glory waiting on the other end. Eternal weight. Verse 18 is the key. How do we see this thing? How do we see God's kindness, see God's grace? Why we look not at the things which are seen. Not looking at the physical things, but at the things which are not seen. We're looking at the spiritual. For things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're looking for the eternal things. To see God's kindness, to see God's grace, to really see it. To be able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. You're looking at the eternal things. You're looking at the things that are not seen. We cannot go grab it off the shelf. No one can take it out of their pocket and hand you God's kindness. We have to see it because it's a spiritual thing. It's an eternal thing. To be able to understand and receive the hope that God wants us to have, that comfort that goes with it, we have to look at the spiritual things. See what God has given us. How could we be able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord, without looking spiritually at it? We have to look at the spiritual side. Can we see His kindness? So back to Psalm 31, we'll go to the next verse. Verse 22. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Second point here is we need to speak to the Lord. Speak to Him. Think about it. We're going through our initial reaction be just like here in 22 when David says, hey, I said in my haste, hey, there's no hope here. I'm cut off. God's not even, you're not seeing me, God. I'm down here all alone. I'm fighting this battle. I'm alone. You're not here with me. That's what David said in his haste, in his hurry. He lost sight of what? He lost sight of the spiritual. Seeing God's grace. He lost sight of it. Can we do that? Yeah, very easily. How do we do that? Not get renewed day by day. Not getting in the Word daily. Walking in our flesh. But then, what he says, nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. David woke up, said, spoke to God, supplications, specific prayer request. He spoke to the Lord. He said, you heard him. That's a communication, isn't it? Our communication back to God. That helps us to see that He's real. Like when we communicate with people, if you got somebody you're sitting there on the phone with or face to face with, you're talking to a real live person. You're talking. Now some people have different ways of communicating, you know, texting or sign language or, you know, physical movement stuff. You're communicating, but there's that person you're talking to. It's a conversation, right? Well, there's God out there. God's here. We should communicate with Him through our prayers. Speak to Him what our specific request is. Because God has communicated to us already through His Word. He spoke. He spoke His Word. His eternal Word has been spoken to us, and here it is, right in our laps. He spoke it. It's up to us to get into it, study it out, to see what He said to us. Focus on the eternal things. Okay. Speaking to God, why would we be able to do that? Let's look at a couple of verses. Why would we be able to do that? Romans 8, 14 and 15. Let's turn there. Romans 8. We can speak to God because He's our Father. Romans 8, 14, 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We speak to God as our Father. Speak to God as your Father. You have a relationship. He saved you. Spirit's dwelling inside of us. You're led by the Spirit. You speak to Him. That's how we pray to Him. Pray directly to Him. And how are we able to do that? There's only one mediator. One mediator. 1 Timothy 2 tells us that. One mediator. What's that? First Timothy 2, 4 and 5. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We speak directly to God through Christ. Eliminated us having to go speak to our clergy person, our priest, whoever. We can talk directly to God because He's our Father and we have direct access to Him through Jesus. So, do you want to have hope in the Lord? You want to receive that hope? Speak to God. Have a relationship with Him. Communicate with Him. He's communicated us through His Word. communicate back to him with prayer. Of course, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. The main passage for prayer, main verse for prayer, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, tells us, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Don't worry about it. Give it to God. Don't let your heart care for it. Give it to God. The supplications, the prayers, let your requests be made known to God. Speak to Him. And what's the key thing? And you have that, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Our hearts and minds have that peace in us, and that is where our hearts and minds are, where we can see the eternal things, right? We can see eternal things with our heart and mind. Can't see it with our eyes, but we can see and understand that eternal grace and kindness that God wants to give us. We can see it in our heart and mind. It's very critical to pray to God, to have that communication, just like David had here in Psalm 22, Psalm 31, verse 22. Let's go back to our passage, verse 23. Our third point here. Need to stay faithful. Stay faithful. Verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentiful rewardeth the proud doer. Oh, love ye the Lord, all ye his saints. Oh, that's easy said. That's an easy statement to say. Oh, yeah, I love the Lord. We can all say that. Yeah, I love the Lord. I go to church every time the doors are open. Do everything physically I need to do. I love the Lord. Do you? What's John 14:15 say? It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus spoke those words. Do you love the Lord? If you do, keep his commandments. Keep what he has spoken. Understand the doctrine that is given to you. Understand it and keep it. Study to show ourselves approved. 2 Timothy 2:15. David saying, oh, love the Lord, all ye saints. Well, are you keeping his commandments? First of all, what's the first commandment? Romans 10:9, the first commandment of love that we have to obey. The very first one. Commandment of love. Let's turn to that. Romans 10:9. We need to be saved. We need to become a son, a child of God. Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To stay faithful, you've got to start out by being faithful. And that's how you start. You accept the Lord as your personal Savior. Mouth confession and heart belief. Simple as that. Nothing else. Faith alone. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. By faith only. Through the Lord. Accept him as your personal Savior. Now, staying faithful after you're saved, let's just skip on down to verse 17, Romans 10:17. So, then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Stay faithful, you hear the Word of God, you're in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, Apostle to us, in this time frame, this dispensation, tells us that he stayed faithful in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's look at that. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Tells us how he stayed faithful in the fight he had. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Paul wrote this at the end of his life. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul stayed faithful by how? He did that by loving his appearing. He was looking forward to meeting the Lord. He fought a good fight. He finished the course, his course, and he kept the faith by loving his appearing. Do we love his appearing? Are we looking forward to that day we can meet him? Getting past this brief moment in time we're in. Look at another example of staying faithful given to us by James. Let's look at James chapter 1. We know the context here is for the gospel of kingdom, the nation of Israel in James chapter 1, but it's very enlightening on a personal deal, a personal level for us. James chapter 1, verse 21, starting there. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any may hear the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man behold his natural face in a glass. But whoso looketh into this, to the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Gospel kingdom here, James writing, nation of Israel, they had faith and works for their salvation. Inspirationally, personally, we take this, it's like, wow, be a doer of the word. What are the commandments that's laid out to me? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What commandments were laid out to us? Through Paul, as he wrote them, Romans 2, Philemon. Don't be a hearer of those words that Paul laid out for us. Be a doer as well. Be a doer as well. Back to Philippians 4. 4 verse 9. This is Paul speaking it after we just read the part about prayer. Philippians 4:9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Be a doer of the word, and not a hearer only, as Paul laid it out for us. Interesting, back in the Psalms 31, interesting phrase there, and it says, plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. That's why we looked at James, what he said in chapter 1 there. That's why we looked at what Paul said in Philippians 4:9, be a doer. Whatso things you've heard of me and seen, do. Principally reward a proud doer. That's the only time that phrase is mentioned in the Bible like that. And it's very critical to be a doer of the word, because let's turn to 1 Corinthians 3. We see what awaits us potentially at the judgment seat. 1 Corinthians 3, 13. Judgment seat of Christ, context, saved believers here. 1 Corinthians 3, 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest. And a work implies you did something, right? Be the doer. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. There is either reward waiting or loss waiting at the judgment seat of Christ. And back in Psalm 31, he said, plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Think about that. The proud doer of the word. We don't want to be prideful ever, but we want to stand and be proud of the word that we're standing on. Be a proud doer. Because a reward is the end. It's the end. Awaits us at our judgment. Either reward or suffering loss awaits us. So stay faithful. If you want to have hope in the Lord and receive His comfort, stay faithful. Be a doer of the word. And not just a hearer only. Back to our passage, Psalm 31, the final point here is strengthen in hope. Strengthen in hope. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. So, if we apply the first 3 points of, I can see his kindness, I want to see it, I can see it, I do see it, I'm staying with it, and I'm speaking to the Lord, staying with on my heart, having a communication, having a relationship with the Lord God, and I'm staying faithful in what he's given me, what he's commanded me to do. You can be strengthened in hope. That's where the hope comes from. Strengthened in hope. It says there, verse 24, be of good courage. That sounds like a kind of like a soldier almost, right? Brave. Courage. Good courage. 2 Timothy. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1, 7. We didn't get the spirit of fear from God when we got saved. Look, the spirit we have, 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. No, he did not. We are not to be afraid. But of power and of love and a sound mind. We had a spirit of power, love, and sound mind in us the day we get saved. Be of good courage. You got the spirit of power in you. You can be of good courage. We should be of good courage. What's there to fear? How do you think Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Naked I came in, naked I'm going out. Blessed be the name. He had the spirit of power in him. He had the courage that only God can give. That's the same courage we need to have. 2 Timothy chapter 2 right here. Let's look in verse 1, starting verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You got the power, spirit of power in you. Be strong in the grace. That grace I'm wanting you to see, that kindness I'm wanting you to see, you should see, be strong in it. And you got this strength, don't be afraid to speak about it and teach it to others. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Teach faithful men, those that want to stay faithful, to stay with God, to understand God better, to have his relationship that he wants. Teach it to them so they can teach others. In verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Be of good courage. You're going to endure some hardness. You're giving truth out. You're standing on truth. You're going to endure some hardness. It's coming. Don't think it's not. But that's okay. You've got the spirit of power inside of you. Let's turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Continue on with this. Romans 5 verse 1 and 2 says, therefore be justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We stand and rejoice because we're justified by faith. Remember, we need to stay faithful because we're justified by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. We're justified by it. We stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That hope, that great hope, is that future reward that we're going to have a chance to receive at the judgment seat of Christ. And that hope that's coming. Remember, this time we have this light affliction, this brief moment of time we have is just nothing compared to all of eternity. Nothing. Not even a speck of dust in eternity. So we stand now. Because we're justified by faith, we stand now and rejoice in that hope of the glory. We can have hope that God wants us to have. And that comfort that God is trying to give us, and He does give us. We just need to see it. And that comfort that we should want to give to others in their times of conflict, to show them, speak to them, and show them, hey, God is real. He has this for us. He has this hope for us. Let's turn over to Romans 15. How do we continue in this? How do we stay strengthened? Romans 15 verse 4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Be strengthened in hope. You're in the scriptures. You're in the word of God. That's where it comes from. Back to that relationship. We're praying God. We need to be praying to Him. We're staying in the Word. We're staying faithful. It says in our passage, Psalm 31, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Do we hope in the Lord? Well, it comes from the Scriptures. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Be strengthened in hope. You got to be in the Word. Finally, let's look at verse 13 in the same chapter, Romans 15. Now, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Remember the Holy Spirit? We didn't receive the spirit of fear, did we? He is the spirit of power. And through Him, through the power of the Holy Ghost, what? We can abound in hope. That is a very uplifting message and thought. Because of the power of the Holy Ghost, abound in hope that He wants us to have. Wow. Don't get down through our circumstances. Don't get down like Job didn't get down. And all the circumstances he went through, he didn't get down. Blessed be the name of the Lord, he said. Paul said it. Blessed be God. And all the stuff he went through. the best examples, those folks that could say that, stand up and whatever they're going through and say, blessed be God, blessed be the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is how you receive the hope, the comfort that God wants us to have. So, do you have hope in the Lord? Do you have the comfort that comes with it? Have you received it? Hopefully you can see it a little clearer on this message. How we do that? We need to see His kindness. It's not physical. We need to speak to the Lord. Don't be afraid to pray to Him. Give it to God. We need to stay faithful in His Word. Do what He's commanded us to do. Through Paul, do it. And we will be strengthened in hope. Through the Scriptures. The God of hope. Fill our hearts. Give us the strength and comfort that He wants to give us. We can receive that, understand that, and be the person now that God wants us to be. Show this dark world that light of God, that there is comfort out there. It is here. Hopefully, they can see it through us. So, are we living it? That's our question for us. We do what we need to do through His Word. Can we say, blessed be the name of the Lord? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You for this day, this passage, Lord. It just simply lays out what we need to do to understand and see Your hope, Lord. Help us to just realize that and to understand that a little better, Lord. And help us to just most of all be able to live it. Be that light for You, to be the person You'd have us to be, Lord. Not being down and out and discouraged, but having that hope and having that comfort that only You can give. And we just want to thank You and praise You now as we go forward for You in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.